Welcome everybody to a Delco Nerd Network hot take. Ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't seen a Delco Nerd Network hot take, well, a hot take is where a few friends get in a basement. We give our thoughts, we give our opinions on a TV show, a movie, or a game. Today it's going to be a movie, and that movie is Joker Foley Adue. Here to discuss, as always, my partner in crime, the triple threat, Chris Trio.
Gooch, I hope you're ready to share in this delusion with me, this journey that is Joker Foley Adue.
It's definitely a way to put it. It's definitely the discourse has been a journey, but I am ready to take your hand.
It has been,
and be led into this dark land.
I love it. I love it. I'm excited. Yeah, it has really been kind of wild to watch, like, the dog pile on this
movie.
We do
live in a society.
It's like everyone just got the message and was just like, just dump on Joker. And, you know, I think for some legitimate reasons, but Gooch, I'm going to get right into it here.
Sure,
just because,
yeah,
I'm actually excited to talk about this, because
I came out of the theater and I'm like, I'm actually looking forward to just talking to Trio about it, because I think it's just going to be an interesting dialogue. Because that's definitely a movie that if we came out of the theater and just reviewed, I don't think
it would have worked. Yeah.
Yeah.
We would have grown in our thought process, I think, personally.
Sure. Like, stewing on that movie definitely helped. But yeah, go for it.
Yeah. So I think I'm probably... It's not hard to be more positive than the internet on this, but I think I'm probably a bit more positive than the general consensus around this movie. I don't really know what people were kind of expecting out of this. I think a fair expectation was to not have a musical, which I think a lot of people are getting like kind of sidelined by. They have no idea. I don't think the marketing did a good job of conveying that. And I do think that is an issue on the marketing's part. And I think it's on purpose, but, otherwise, I think I really did like this movie, aside from the musical element, which unfortunately is a large chunk of this. This is probably more of a musical, you said this coming out, than La La Land.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. I mean, like, I think, like, I really like La La Land, but I would not say I'm a fan of musicals by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah.
And I love La La Land. But, like, La La Land doesn't have, like, a lot of, like, musical bits. There's some, like, singing bits, but, like, they don't, like, go into full...
They don't overpower... Well, they don't also
full
overpower
blown
you,
song and dance. But, like, Joker, very often, they are going into full-blown song and dance to a point where it overstays its welcome. You know, we're getting to parts where it's, like, the narrative is moving, we got to take 5 minutes to...
La, 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 la.
To sing and dance about it,
exactly.
And then we'll get back to it. And cutting some of that down... and maybe cutting a little bit off of the movie, I think would have made it tighter, because it's a 2-hour and 18-minute movie, and it really doesn't
feel
like 2 hours and 18 minutes.
It doesn't feel that way to you?
It feels a little longer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure.
Like, it just
kind of
drags. But
I completely agree, Gooch. And I can't help but echo what you're saying with the, like, things are getting going. Let's like, this is getting interesting. We're getting into Arthur's, like, thought process. And I think Joaquin Phoenix does an amazing job in this. Fucking fantastic. And then it just gets kind of grounded to a ground to a halt by these musical numbers. How many musical numbers do you think La La Land has? Because it feels like there's probably like 3 or 4, maybe. And then in this,
like, full blown,
yeah, like where you're actually singing and dancing, like probably 2 or 3.
3 or 4.
We might be way off, so please correct us,
like,
in the comments if you want to.
There's not many. Like, there's one, me and Sebastian, when they first meet and they're on the road and they're tap dancing. The end,
yeah,
which is a big one. The one where Mia is dancing with her friends.
And
honestly,
that was 3, right?
I think there may be one more, but, like, that's it.
So that would be 4 if there were one more.
Like, there's other parts where they sing.
Sure.
But, like, it's not...
Like a full-blown...
Yes.
We're breaking out in a song.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
so,
there's a part where, like, Ryan Gosling singing City of Stars, like, on a pier, but, like, he's just walking and singing, and it's, like, 2 minutes.
Yeah. So it's probably not this amount, but the fact that it feels like this is bad. It feels like there are 12 singing numbers in this. And they just really kind of take the momentum out of the film, but... From, like, a narrative standpoint, I really enjoyed the movie. I thought it was a very interesting setup for the Gotham that Batman inherits. Gotham, like, at its absolute lowest point. You see Arthur in Arkham Asylum, and I think it's personally the shittiest and worst looking in way of, like, I would never want to live here, and this looks like an awful, abusive place, Arkham, that we've ever seen. Like, they're bringing out their, like, their piss pots. everyone's like shirtless. People are like manic in the hallways. And, you know, we see that a bit definitely more in the Batman. I think that's definitely more akin to what we see here. But it's just an awful place to live in. All the guards are abusive. Arthur kind of started this thing that he can't quite get a hold of. And I mean, he's been in jail for a few years at this point.
2 years.
And you see kind of Harley come in and almost instigate him back into the Joker, at least try to bring the Joker back out of him. And it's kind of that story of Arthur, you know, somewhat not even being able to live up to that. The strongest elements of the film for me are the courtroom stuff, or is mostly the courtroom stuff. I think there's some great performances, especially when he does his like weird Southern lawyer thing. I do think that's weirdly funny.
I think it's supposed to be Atticus Finch. So if I had to take a guess.
And Harvey's kind of got like a bit of a Southern twang when he's talking, right? If I remember correctly.
I feel like he just has like a yuppie kind of way of talking. Like a American Psycho, New York Wall Street, right. Let's do coke on the bathroom thing.
A little bit more proper. Yeah, I just went Southern again. I don't know. I think this does a very cool and interesting job of setting up a terrible Gotham that Batman can inherit. And I think the story of Arthur is an interesting character study and is absolutely a continuation of the Arthur that we see in the first Joker. And I don't know, a lot of people are talking about how it felt like Todd did this almost because he hates the fans and like he wanted to say fuck you and like he doesn't understand the Joker at all. And I just wholeheartedly disagree with that take. I think there are a lot of elements from the comics in this. Sure, they're approached in a different way. Like Harley, for instance, she's not a psychiatrist at Arkham Asylum, but she got a psychiatry degree. She is this kind of rich yuppie kid who is inspired by the Joker in the worst way and wants to bring that person back out of Arthur. And it ends up going terribly awry. And I don't want to get too much into spoilers at the end. I think the weakest part for me is the third act. And there's a transition point where Arthur kind of makes a turn and that last moment in the courtroom doesn't really work for me because I'm like, feels like we just jumped from this guy to this random other dude. And I think there are a few reasons as to why, but I don't know if they're compelling enough for me to make that switch. Like that scene with Puddles, which was tough. Like that was very good.
Definitely my favorite scene in the movie for sure.
Absolutely.
Like, Let me hop in here.
Please
and
give
my thoughts and just kind of like go on to your points. I did like the movie, but I think it's got some glaring problems. One of them, you know, being that the musical being too much and its runtime just feeling like
a drag.
It's drug out. Mm-hmm. I think this is a really much. I like it's a sequel like through and through. Like it really like requires you to have watched that first one and really like understand because it constantly calls back to it. It really just feels like a sequel, which you don't really see that often. Like for example, like Captain America the Winter Soldier is not really a sequel to the first Avenger. You don't really need to watch that to like understand.
I see what you're saying, for
you
sure.
You know, like I kind of like seeing the sequel, and it is really like, oh, it's not just like here's the next story. It's
here's Arthur's
story. It's a continuation of that character study. And I would say more so a character study of Harley Quinn than Joker or Arthur Fleck. And I really loved Lady Gaga as they call her Lee in this, which I find interesting that they just, you know, changed her name a little bit. But she is Harleen Quinzel. She is Harley Quinzel. But they seem to take a different approach and an approach I don't think has ever been taken with Harley Quinn, where Harley is the manipulator. She manipulates him, you know, like, kind of like going off your point. Like she just she's a rich kid. She has a degree. So, you know, in the comics, for those who don't know, Harley Quinzel is a psychiatrist who works at Arkham, and the Joker pretty much manipulates her.
Twists
like
her
that's
mind.
That's the simple point of it. And then she becomes Harley Quinn. In this, it just seems like the Joker inspires her. Like she's a bit of like a rebellious, and the Joker kind of like brings this persona out of her. And she wants to like take that to the stars, you know, like, but she needs him to do it. She can't really like seem to do it on her own. So she checks herself into Arkham and like is there to pretty much get to him. And it kind of works, and like it gets a bit weird, and like,
well, we find out she checks herself in, so
yeah, because we'll then, weird, you know. She talks about like when he's in the hole or whatever you want to call it, and she's like, "They're letting me go. Yeah, I'm like, I was getting too close to you, and now they're just sending me home." And I immediately when I heard that, I was like, "What?
Yeah,
that doesn't make any sense at all. You're in a state hospital, like, what?"
And this and was then after, like, she got what she wanted. She got him out on the front gate with her and got that picture and then was like, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So it like didn't make sense. But then they bring it around. And it's like, no, she was not in there. She was in there on her own volition. Yeah. So she could leave whenever she wanted. So, and she did something wrong. That being like tried to escape with him, I guess, aid his escape. Also set fire to the that like that B ward didn't seem to get caught for that, which was like weird that like nobody noticed there was like a fire going on.
It's
like
the 70s, right, everyone's crazy
right behind them. But yeah, like, you know, like she brings the Joker out, but like it's clear that like Arthur is really conflicted about himself and like if he wants to be the Joker full-heartedly. And
well, and it's like, does the Joker even exist anymore after that night? Like, because it almost seems like he's just keeps trying to bring it out of him throughout the whole movie,
but he can't, like, he can't do it. Yeah. And I think the Gary Puddle scene, and like, again, my favorite scene in the movie, where, you know, Gary is kind of like, you know, testifying, and that one clown guy was killed and he witnessed it, and but he let him go. And you know, he's talking about how scared he was, and you know, like how genuinely fearful he was. But I think the real key part of that is, goes, you know, like he talks about how, like, you know, he's a little person and he's like, you know, everyone makes fun of me. But Arthur, you were the only one who didn't make fun of me.
It was a tough
scene. And he's like,
yeah.
You're like,
he's like, why did you do this, Arthur? You were the only one who was nice to me. You were the only one that seemed to show me any shred of respect.
Right. And in him saying that, you like, I think it really kind of like shatters the Joker.
He sees what the Joker has done. He sees the product of what he's
no. I mean that Arthur is not the Joker.
No, yeah,
and it is proof that, like, at his core, like, you know, Arthur probably realizes he's a bit different, and he realizes that, you know, Gary is like a bit different and made fun of
right
for his disability and the way he is, and he just doesn't make fun of him. But like, you think like the Joker that wouldn't matter.
No,
you
for
know,
sure.
You know, and like, and I think it like pokes a hole right through the Joker being his like main persona.
I completely agree.
Even has two different personas, because I like how they're like trying to figure out, is like, you know, is this true? And you know, he's getting interviewed in the prison, and he's getting like prodded at, and like clearly, like, you know, that reporter is trying to like get a rise out of him.
And even the lawyer's like leading him. She's like, did you black out that day? Did you do, like, right. she's really trying to guide him in the way that
to get
she
him
wants
out.
Him to go. She wants to talk to the Joker. She even says it at one point. She's like, is the Joker here now? Can I talk to him?
Oh, like that.
The lawyer, the one that's helping.
No, she's not a lawyer. It's the psychiatrist.
No, I'm talking about the public defender when she's... Oh, that's right. When they're doing the
psychiatrist
interview.
Yeah.
Right. But that's also after, you know, the lawyer's trying to, you know, get this insanity defense for him, because I think she does genuinely feel bad for him, and they explore all those elements in his past that, you know, traumatized him between the sexual and physical abuse from, like, when he was a young child.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I do think the dynamic of Harley Quinn and Joker being switched up here is probably one of the more interesting ideas here.
Yeah, I really liked it.
And
I knew we were going to get a take,
for sure,
a different take on Harley. Like, I knew Lady Gaga was not going to be the Harley we've known
for
so long. And, you know, they don't really, like, she doesn't, like, go full bore with, like, the makeup and, like, the outfit. But I think, like, it, like, kind of suits its purpose. And
kind of by the end,
she is the driver
yeah.
of the movie. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it's kind of interesting where, like, it, you know, like, he kind of, like, gives up and, like, she gives up on him. And, like, I'm curious if the pregnancy was even real.
I mean, dude, she definitely fucked that guard to go see him. I think.
You think?
That's what it felt like to me. She's like, the guard let me through.
Right.
I'm getting out. It's like, why else would he let... And in this terrible, awful, grimy universe, that's where at least my terrible head goes. But
yeah.
I think there is an interesting element to this of... And it's not new, and I think this is part of the Joker comics in many different iterations, and that's why it kind of annoys me when people are just like, Todd didn't even fucking understand the Joker. He doesn't even know this guy. Like, the Joker turns into more of an idea. and more of an emblem of something that will continue on, that Arthur instigated that one night and never is able to recreate himself, but he created this image of this anarchic entity that ends up almost being translated into this new person
and
at
became
the end.
Bigger than probably bigger the Joker ever was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
you know, and the movie, you know, we get a few shots towards the end where that parallel him coming down the steps as the Joker doing the dance, but now he's coming up as Arthur defeated.
Yeah.
We get him going into he's arrested by the police officers and like being escorted out of Gotham while Gotham is, you know, going haywire. The Waynes are killed.
That's
you know,
what I mean,
like
yeah.
You know, all that shit's happening. The fires are being lit. And in this, it's, you know, it's a cloudy day, and like his followers, if you want to call him that, his the people he inspired are like just kind of found him, trying to get him out, and he's just kind of running away from it, and he doesn't
know.
Well,
that's after the bomb goes off, right?
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, he finds that one guy who's like, oh, like you're him. And he's
so,
like,
and this is after the point where he kind of comes out, and I kind of like how they even address it. You expect him to give this closing argument as the Joker and like give this big rousing speech, and he's just like,
right, he dressed up as the Joker,
and he's
at this
just
point,
like,
fires
I'm not the Joker
lawyer,
and
defends himself,
just,
and it's like, what is going on here? You think the Joker's really gonna start coming out?
Yeah, and he just realizes he cannot do it. He doesn't have it in him. Whether he did before or it was a fluke, it's gone. And I've seen some people insinuate that stuff with the guards was beyond physical. That it went into sexual abuse.
And the guards were sexually abusing,
like,
Arthur Fleck?
So that part where he comes back after he has his kind of first Joker moment, and they're like, you talked fucking... And they're like manhandling him.
Yeah.
Tearing him down and throwing him in the bathroom. I was like... It's funny because in the moment, I had like a weird fleeting thought. I'm like, what just happened there?
Yeah, I can buy that theory.
I didn't necessarily think that, but I can see why people would think that.
Yeah, I thought about that. I'm like, oh, like, what did they do? They beat him up, or did they
like
did
what
they
happened
rape him?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Yeah, what happened here? And I think that's like the point. It's supposed to make you think
more
like,
ambiguous.
What did they actually do to him?
And he also hears his buddy, who's been like up for him the whole time, get killed by the guard after he's thrown in the cell.
Yeah,
he's
realizing, I don't even know if I'd call him his buddy. I would just call him another Joker.
Sure, I would call him like a friend. Like, he seemed to like
an,
Arthur.
An
like
indoctrinated Joker person.
Well,
you
sure,
know?
He's a crazy person, but he seemed to be someone who was defending Arthur regardless. And, like, he got him killed. And it's another moment where Arthur is realizing that his actions have consequences. And the whole movie starts out with that cartoon scene, which I thought was kind of odd, and
yeah.
I didn't feel like, you know,
didn't
do much.
Well,
it just was like, all right, this is what happened in the first movie. I get it. The idea is Arthur has this shadow self who does all this terrible stuff, and he's the one who is left to take all the blame once it's gone because, you know, he's Arthur.
Right. Again, it's that, you know, that
the dual personality thing.
Right.
And, you know, by the end, Arthur says that it's not there. And I think a lot of people had a lot of issues with this. It seems like, you know, in the comments and the reactions to the movie, and even with the way he ends up getting killed, that really didn't annoy me that bad. Like, when I was coming out, like, that whole ending part was not like my main issue with the movie, and that seems to be a main issue that a lot of people are having.
I think, like, you know, as DC fans, I think we understand that there are interpretations of the Joker, and there have been this happens in Gotham,
yeah, that's why,
like,
yeah,
very much so, where
there's
somebody
two versions,
inspires,
right?
Yeah, there's a few different versions of the Joker in that, but like the first iteration inspires other people to be the Joker. And, you know, like, I, you know, he's getting like a score, you know, he gets a visitor, he's back in prison. He is found guilty of those six murders, not just five, the six at being
because
his
he
mother.
Confessed to his mother, which was interesting. I didn't realize they didn't know about that at the, like, at least when the movie started.
Right.
And then they eliminate that.
You know, there's that explosion at the courthouse, and he still ends up getting arrested. Harley, I thought Harley was going to kill herself, or like they weren't going to go back to her, but, you know,
she ends up basically being like, I'm better than you. And I'm like the joke. Like, I don't need Arthur Fleck. I need the Joker, and I can just use the idea of the Joker. I don't need
for myself.
Yeah.
Right?
For myself.
Yeah.
So she even says something about like that show business or something, which I thought was kind of like funny, like a very poignant.
Yeah, and he gets back in jail, and, you know, one of the guards who definitely was setting him up
seems that way.
Yeah,
yeah,
he just walks away.
Yeah.
He, like, that guard does not stick around, and that guy who you see in the, I think he has one scene where he is sort of, he says something and he's a bit front and center and in the way he's like
so
laughing.
So I watched Dan Merle's review and he said that he watched it a second time and he said when he went back the second time and like paid attention for any earlier scenes with him, there was one where they said like he's getting like they're talking about that specific patient. They're like he's getting worse. He just keeps laughing all the time and he can't and he won't say a word. Or something like to that effect.
Okay, yeah, because I saw him.
Yeah,
like,
you
I was
definitely
like, oh,
you
yeah,
see him
I've
in the background in a bunch of scenes for sure.
Yeah, yeah, and you know he tells him that joke, and then you know he get what you fucking deserve, and he just like he, you know shanks him with a ship, and you know the Joker's dead, but he this guy becomes the new Joker. We see like very
at least
blurry.
That's what's insinuated for
he's
sure.
Slitting his mouth open for the smile.
So you don't even
which,
you just hear that too, which is the
right,
worst part.
And you kind of see it like blurred up, but it's like zooming in on Arthur,
and
so
then he's laughing.
So it's kind of going out of frame. Yeah, very reminiscent of like Heath Ledger.
Yeah, for sure,
for sure. And I kind of like that. You know, I think.
But
you know,
Gooch,
the Joker's an interesting
Gotham.
Character, and we haven't brought it up, but we got to go back to the elephant in the room of we're doing the Joker without Batman.
Sure.
You know, just like we've been doing Venom without Spider-Man, and, you know, we did Madame Web without Spider-Man. It's like, how can you do these villains without their catalyst? And I think, like, the only way to do it is to be like, well, like, Arthur Fleck creates the Joker persona, but he probably isn't that Batman's Joker.
He is the prelude to that Batman's Joker.
The idea
and almost
the
catalyst
the
to why
and
Batman exists, honestly. Right. Because again, I don't know, everyone, like I see a lot of people online like, this isn't Gotham. This is barely even tangentially related. There's nothing even, like, they aren't even referencing anything. By the end, we have a scarred and disfigured Harvey Dent.
Yeah.
Who seems like he got half his face fucked up. We have a Harley Quinn who is done with the Joker. That we see a lot, who almost grows beyond the Joker and is doing her own thing now and might even just take the Joker persona herself and use that. We have Gotham in an absolutely awful state. People are rioting. There's clowns everywhere. They just blew up the fucking courthouse. I would never want to live in that city in a million years. This is ripe for a Batman setup. And
right.
I think this works as an origin story for the Joker and for Gotham in and of itself. I think this is a better way of doing what Gotham did in a lot of ways, aside from the musical element. And it's sad because that is a large element of this. And I don't think they should have removed that completely, like you were saying. I think if you limit that to one or two numbers, it's much more effective.
I don't really necessarily
well.
Think they should have removed it, but I'm just saying if you did remove it, you would have gotten a tighter movie.
I think it would have been tighter, and I think,
I think
more
the musical
component excited.
Is cool because you are seeing inside Arthur's mind. And again, we are doing this. This, what is two movies? It's trilogy,
duology. I think that's really it.
These
yeah.
two films yeah. are a character study of the Joker. So,
well, more
and,
of Arthur
and,
Fleck,
and,
really.
And,
yeah.
and they go into that. The yeah. musical scenes go into that.
For sure.
Especially as he's like very confident and then very not confident. And his lawyer tells him that, you know, Lee isn't really good for him, and that fucks with his head, and he's in his
can
you
he
know,
confronts
in his,
her
his musical scene he's getting betrayed by her, which again is interesting. It's different.
I don't think they should I don't think they should have taken it out completely. I just think limiting those musical numbers to two or three would have made it much more effective and trimmed it up a little bit.
Yeah,
too,
like
sure.
I like the one where like they have their show. And
I agree. I do too.
This isn't, you're singing about you. This is about me. And, yeah. You know, like I think that really kind of, you know, shows what's going on.
And there was another, and I mean, they pointed out right there, and even Dan Merle pointed out in his review, which I thought was interesting, like Harley's always singing about me. I've got the world on a string, and Joker's always, like, he's always saying we. He's singing about Harley.
And it's, you know, in the comics, it's very the opposite. The Harley is the one in love with the Joker. But in this, Joker is in love with Harley.
And she's
and he
being used.
Needs love. And, you know, I like they bring back Zazie Beetz' character.
I do too.
Do we see her in reality in that movie?
The scene she describes. There's one where you see her at the beginning of the movie, I assume, where you just see her in the elevator and she's like, hi. And then she goes on. And then the last scene where Arthur's in her apartment, she's like, I've had a bad day. And she's like, okay. And then he leaves.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So she describes that in the courtroom.
Bringing her in and the fact that Arthur created this fantasy around his neighbor.
Yeah.
She had to flee it, basically.
Yeah.
Right. Basically kind of like backs up, like, you know, he's lonely and he's looking for love.
Yeah.
Essentially to like fill that void.
And there was that moment where she's talking about like what his mom said about her, and he has a realization that she was just he has a realization that she was just lying and a true piece of shit. I mean, she was obviously abusive along with the
Still think that Arthur is Bruce Wayne's bastard son? Do you buy that? Because remember that being a big thread.
I can't remember what I thought when we first did the review. I think it's...
Yeah, I was meaning to watch, actually, our original review, which I'll link to at the end of this if anyone wants to go check it out.
But I think it's sufficiently ambiguous. I would say there's a chance of it, because I think she actually did work for him. I feel like that's confirmed at one point in the movie, but she's so insane that you can't tell. So I would lean towards no. Just for my own headcanon.
I would lean towards the theory. The possibility is interesting. Whether it's true or not. But there is a lot less Batman stuff. I mean, we've talked about Harvey Dent a few times, but like, I don't really think there's much to say.
No, he's the Attorney General.
Right. Yeah, he's the District Attorney.
Oh, right.
DA. Yeah. And it doesn't feel like he's anything more than that. But it is cool that, like, you know, he is the one representing the people of Gotham or the state of New York in this case. I think that's kind of it, all I want to say on the movie. But, you know, I did want to get back to the conversation of this movie because, it's exhausting. Even with video games, which we're going to talk about in our next podcast that we're recording today, let's talk about PlayStation. There's a lot been going on with PlayStation that's been negative. And I think just the general discourse of fans is absolutely appalling and abysmal. A movie can be bad. I just feel like there is this like lynch mob that goes on. Like, and I use that very carefully,
right?
Like a lynch mob that goes on when stuff is bad, that like we need to fucking
it's a dog piling
in the streets and like display it like it's like for all to see that it's like some sort of we're making some sort of point.
There's almost like a well, there's almost like a you're there, people are reveling in it to a degree. Like I don't know. I agree with you 100%, Gooch.
Like it's
exhausting is the exact word that I would use.
Silent Hill 2 remake has just come out. It's in the early, like if you pre-ordered the deluxe edition, you got it early. And you know, that was a game that was like, you know, if it was bad, which it doesn't seem to be, it seems to be getting some good reviews.
Overwhelmingly good reviews.
Would have happened and like, you know, again, would have been lynched up and like people would have made an example of this and stuff like that. And, you know, I keep seeing reviews. It's like it has similar box office opening to Morbius and, you know, it's like lower than the Marvels. And I'm just like, you know, Joker came out in 2019 and I'm not going to pretend like I remember what was going on in 2019 in our society. But, you know, it's 2024. We just had some like school shootings. I think we're in maybe we as a society, like, the Joker is just not what people want to see. Maybe people don't want to... Like, I talked to... Like, we went to go see this movie. My sister came, which was, like, a first-time thing. But, like, I think Kathy, like... she's like... I asked her, like, hey, do you want to come see Joker? And she's like... She gave me, like, a weird answer. Right. And I was curious. I'm like, is she bothered by it? Like, we didn't really talk about it. But, you know, I was curious. I was like, yeah. Like, is that, like, just, like... She's a teacher.
Sure.
So, like, you know, I'm like, what does the craziness of, like, you know, the anarchy and, like, you know, what the Joker is and, like, our society, does that have something to do with people not wanting to see it or maybe being more negative towards it or not really being wanting to be receptive of it? I can totally buy that. And I do kind of think like 2024 is probably not the year for Joker fully ado or the Joker character getting this kind of thing again. Maybe 2019, we were more receptive to the violence of it and like the themes of it.
I don't know, man. I don't think so. Because, and I think that's a logical thought process.
It's an interesting conversation. Yeah.
The only reason I don't think so is because I still remember when Joker, the first one came out, there was this whole talk is this going to cause mass shootings? Or like,
right.
What are the message people are going to take from this? And, oh my God, is someone going to be like, Joker's my hero? And honestly, there are some reactions to this. They're like, I don't know, some people may be thinking he had like some type of redemption arc coming his way in this movie, which I don't really see why you would think that. But
yeah, I didn't know where this movie was going
to
go.
Yeah, well, and again, this movie didn't need to. The only reason this movie happened was because the first one made an incredible amount of money, and they probably pestered Todd Phillips and Joaquin Phoenix with millions of dollars to make it. It's a $200 million movie, which, by the way, it looks it. Every single fucking scene is in a real set. Arkham looks great.
And there's not, they're not moving around a bunch. It's no. Arkham, it's not, it's, I think it's Arkham State Hospital. And
right,
that.
Yeah.
And not, the not courtroom Arkham. Are really our two main right. set yeah. pieces. Mm-hmm. Like, there's really nothing there, else.
Well, there's some random dance number sets, right, that yeah, you go true, to and things true. Like that.
But, like, I mean, like, I guess, like, actual.
For sure,
like,
where the action's where, happening, yeah.
Places we're spending a lot of time in. But, yes, definitely. You're right. We get some scene in the streets
yeah,
it, and on the steps again. And yeah, some
it
of
feels
more,
like they're using that money to make it, at least, much more than a lot of movies I've seen. But I don't know, man. I agree with you. The jump on this, I think, just comes from the effect that people are just ready to pounce these days to a degree. And I kind of hate using that word. And
pounce?
I don't. Yeah, like.
Why?
Because it feels like sensation. Like, I don't know. I feel like people use that when you're calling out a legitimate
I think
issue. You know, like.
No, what, I think it's a pretty apt way to put it. I think people are pouncing.
Well, and,
if you have a negative opinion, people pounce on you. If you have a different opinion to, you know, what yours is, people are ready to pounce.
If you
you're right.
If
I mean,
you have a different
I'm
opinion
not
from what
you
the
and
normal
I are even
no, for sure.
Do
I
that.
Think
don't do that.
It's more from like what the overarching I guess thought process, like Outlaws, for example. I'm a big champion in that game right now for many reasons. The initial conversation around that just felt like everyone just ready to chomp at the bit because it's something that people don't like right now a lot. It's two things, actually. It's Ubisoft and Star Wars. You could not yeah. have a more cross-section of things that people fairly hate right now and for many reasons. And I can't disregard a lot of those reasons. But when it comes to something like this, I think it's just more that people see that it's getting negative reviews and they're like, oh, we can get in on this. We can just feed into this negativity. We can make money off this negativity
yeah,
in some way.
Let's make some toxic tweets and some negative tweets. Let's get some engagement.
Well, like, and when you go
because
to like a YouTube channel and every little and every single video is just negative, like, or just framed in some negative way, I'm just like, man, how can you even have like a fulfilling life right now? Like, I feel like I just be so annoyed all the time. Like, but that's a whole separate conversation unto itself. I think this movie has a lot of strong points. I think it does understand the mythology of Joker and Gotham. I think it actually, weirdly in a way, has more to do with Gotham than even the last movie, in my opinion, in how it sets up Gotham for what could possibly come down the road.
Sure.
But
Which won't.
I mean, we'll never see this universe again.
Right.
But there is ample reason for Batman to show up in this universe. You know what I mean?
Did you see the behind the scenes DC stuff about this movie?
I did not. Oh, what? When we were talking about how Peter Safran and James Gunn didn't have anything to do with this, really?
Not, well, yes, but no. Yeah. It's a in partnership with DC Studios kind of thing.
Yeah, because it's their black label thingy. It's like Batman.
Right, but like, the first Joker wasn't treated exactly like that. Like, it's getting the Morbius treatment where it's in association with Marvel.
Well, remember, they
right?
said that they were going to do that with the Batman and things like the Joker when they first announced DC Studios. That wouldn't be part of DC Studios. Those are their own separate thing.
Right, I understand that, but I guess like stamping that label on it like makes it feel like, again, like Marvel treats Morbius and Madam Web, DC kind of putting Joker 2 out to pasture.
See,
a little
I think
bit.
It's totally different in the way of like, Marvel or Sony and
because they didn't
them
get involved, they kind of let Todd Phillips do this.
And they seem to do that or to be doing that with the Batman and things like that. Like, and they said that they were.
But again,
do that.
These two things happened before Gunn and Safran took
correct.
Over.
Correct.
So
I think they're doing the right thing of
and
not,
same with Superman and Lois.
Yes.
You know, which starts tomorrow, which is going to be interesting to see how that wraps up.
Exactly. But I think this completely lines up, and I think they're doing the right thing of making sure this is branded separately from the DCU. Like, you don't want two of the same brandings
correct.
On that and this, because they're two separate things. They're both
DC
characters.
Saw those headlines, and I'm just like,
I don't...
Just something else for people to be negative about.
I agree, but I think that that's a
That's why I'm bringing it up.
Sure. I think that's the most disingenuous read of it, because you know what Sony does with that Marvel logo? They're not trying to disassociate with Marvel. They're trying to ape off of Marvel. They want the Marvel, ness of it all. They want to confuse you into thinking it's part of the MCU. This is being like, no, this is on its own. It's completely separate. I'm sure we'll see the exact same thing with the Batman Part 2. And the reason we didn't see that with the Joker was because it was when it was under completely different management and they had no fucking clue what they were doing. Everything was just part of DC.
Like, I don't feel like we're seeing that with the Penguin, though, with the show.
Does it come up with the logo like normal and stuff like that?
I'll have to pay attention when I watch it.
So if it does it say tonight, like in association with DC or like I'd be curious.
Again, I'll have to pay attention.
So maybe that would lead me to draw more inferences from it then. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I personally don't read much into that. But again, it's going to be something that people will pick up on. And you know, I feel like I just spun that news in a way that's more positive. Whereas you can take that news and be like, well, this is a negative. They're just trying to put this out to shit. They don't give a fuck, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, you can think that. It's fair enough. But I definitely don't.
You think this movie is going to flop?
It is. It has.
Okay. Yeah.
It unfortunately has. And, you know, I don't know what else you could have done about it. It's wild to me to think that they maybe didn't see this coming. I mean, they didn't, you know, do any showings for it apparently and stuff like
that. Yeah, they did not screen test it, which, you know, was funny. I watched a video essay on Ang Lee's Hulk and they did not test Ang Lee's Hulk either. Which yeah. I found interesting.
And I mean, it kind of makes sense to me because the
which
first
is
one.
Very unheard of.
It's very rare. And the only reason that he was able to do that was because this is how I'm sure it happened. Todd Howard, Joaquin Phoenix, they said it before. They
Todd
were like,
Phillips.
What did I say? Todd Howard. Todd Phillips, Joaquin, they were not going to do a sequel.
Yes, but, I agree.
Made, but then it made, I think,
financial sense.
It was like an insanely small budget, like $80 million, I want to say. And it made $1 billion. An insane return on investment. So they kept prodding Todd and Joaquin.
He won an Oscar.
Yeah. They, you know? Which is funny, I forgot.
A few Oscars. I think the music won some Oscars, too.
They kept prodding Todd. They kept prodding Joaquin. They were like, want that? Oh, is more money? More? More? And then suddenly they hit a thing and they were like, okay, we'll take that. And then Todd was also like, I'm doing whatever I want. I don't want any notes. I'm going to make the film that I want to make. And that's the contract. If you want me to do this, follow up. And they were like, okay. And he made what he wanted to make.
And again, this happened before Gunn and Savarin.
Sure, yeah. And this was around Sasa.
No, I think yes.
Oh no, I'm sorry. It did. I didn't mean that as like sure. Yes, you're right. You're correct.
Yeah. So like by the time they came along,
this was Zaslav, though, I believe.
This deal has already been made and he's off doing filming.
And Todd even said in the one interview, like, this is more of a Warner Brothers movie than a DC movie. And this was all who's the guy who's running it now? Warner, the guy who keeps canceling movies and stuff that everyone hates. I can't remember the studio head for WB right now.
David Zaslav. Yeah.
If he thought this was even a sort of a chance of happening, he would have canned this movie and taken that fucking tax right off in a minute. So that really, in my opinion, that's what his like record has shown me at least. So I really don't think that they saw this coming. It's sad to me. I do think this movie is not nearly as big of a shit show as I'm seeing people talk about it online.
I would agree.
I think it's being unfairly treated in a lot of ways.
Agreed.
I would recommend it with the caveat of maybe you won't like it. I don't know. Apparently a lot of people aren't. I don't know.
You know, and like, would I recommend people go out to the theater to see it? I don't know. I don't really think so. I just don't feel like it's a movie you really need to go out and see, especially like I saw like the IMAX ads for it. I'm like, why would you want to go see, like, why would Joker 2 be the movie you want to be like, I need to see Joker 2 or Folia Do in IMAX, you know? It's just, I don't
cost more money. Yeah. They just want to sell tickets. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. Like if you bought IMAX tickets, I would have been like, why? Yeah. Like, why'd you do that?
Yeah. There's no reason to.
Yeah.
Yeah. A very interesting film in my opinion. I'd like to think that this is going to get more credit in the years to come. I would hope so. Maybe as it gets revisited, because I do think it's a solid DC story that's much more adult oriented in tone.
I honestly think, if anything, we'll just kind of move past this and it'll be forgotten. So like Madame Web has been, we've moved past.
But this
it
is so much more.
And it's a joke in behind us.
If you think this is even nearly as bad as Madame Web,
you're insane.
You have to get your brain checked. I don't know what to
you're,
like.
You're clearly not a.
I just don't know.
A reputable opinion of any consequence.
It's just, it's not even a thought process. And I think, Honestly, it's because this is a little slow and it's very dialogue heavy.
Yeah, there's not a lot of action. There's like maybe two or three action pieces.
And if I'd barely even call them action pieces, you know,
right,
like
right. Like
faster paced moments,
drama.
Yeah. It's a character study. It's a musical. It explores the mythology of why someone like the Joker, or like the idea of the Joker, comes to an existence, into existence within Gotham City. I think it's interesting enough on its face. Sure, I could take or leave a lot of the music, but it's really has grown on me, especially in these past couple days of thinking about it. So,
well, it's good. I actually was kind of scared you were going to be negative.
I see. Yeah.
Especially I'm on with as, everyone. I saw you in the Discord talking about it, I'm like, oh no, he turned.
No, I didn't. Well, no,
you know, compared to how we came out of the theater and we were talking.
Really, I was just annoyed about the musical aspect because I do think that is. And you know, Dylan and I were talking about this in the group chat, and in the Discord, and I totally respect where he's coming from, and I think he's making a lot of sense that like maybe it's on the audience to look this up and figure it out. But I don't know, man. Like, if you can't tell from just the trailers on your own, and you saw Joker, which was just this drama last time, I wouldn't have been expecting a musical. I wouldn't have even thought to look up like, is this a musical or is this a different genre of film?
I mean, like maybe Lady Gaga being in that, would kind
like
of
tip
like,
you a little bit maybe?
Yeah,
but like,
right.
My girlfriend didn't know. I told my coworkers in our group chat and they're like, it's a musical. And like, no, if it's a mass misunderstanding on the level that it feels like it is, again, that's an error on the marketing side, in my humble opinion. But that's my biggest issue. And that's kind of why I was griping in the group chat more than anything.
And people, if you went to go
Discord,
see
I should say.
Joker, Fully Ado, please let us know in the comments what you thought. And if you enjoyed this podcast, definitely leave us a review on the podcast service you're watching. Give us some 5 stars. You know, don't give us the one, but I don't know. If you give us the one, like, let us know why.
Yeah, no, I'm of the mind of give the review that you want to give and give the actual feedback that you think is needed, of course. But would I like the 5-star? Yes.
Patria, please close the curtain.
Sure thing.
On this review, this hot take.
Will this folly adieu. Guys,
what does Fully Ado mean?
A shared delusion. That's why I kept saying that.
Oh.
Oh, did you know? Oh, that's. You did seem. You were like, why does he keep saying that? That's funny. Yeah, a delusion or mental illness shared by 2 people.
Why?
In close association.
You just had that up?
Well, yeah, because it was from last night. I was looking it up. It was on my thing. Anyway. I didn't change my screen. Anyways. Thank you all so much. If you've been watching with us, I should say live on twitch.tv/DelcoNerdNetwork. We really appreciate your time. You can find this podcast anywhere podcasts are found. Just search Delco Nerd Network on your platform of choice. We have a Facebook page. We have a Discord channel. All that good stuff will be linked down below. We're on all the social media pages as well, at Delco Nerds, on everything with an at sign. You can find all this information on our website, DelcoNerdNetwork.com. You can even email us your comments, questions, or concerns to DelcoNerds@gmail.com. We're happy to get back to you. But for Gooch, I've been Trio. Thanks for watching, guys. Stay nerdy, and we will see you next time.